Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Now you may be seated. What an evening. Fagley family, what a privilege it is for all of us to be witnesses for Andrew's baptism tonight. The newness of Andrew, only 13 months old, the newness of green leaves springing from trees, the flowers, the music, the light. It is a glorious celebration, and it makes me think life should always be this way. Yet those of us who are not so new, but worn around the edges, know that life is not always this way. Some of us who are wounded or jaded look at moments like this and think, it's too good to be true. And that might be so tonight if we were promising Andrew a life of endless flowers, light, and spring. But that is not what the promise of baptism and resurrection are about. The story of our faith that we've recounted tonight looks head-on at the reality of life and death. Human beings were created out of the dust, and to dust we shall return. God's people know the worst that the chaos of sin and oppression can do in this life. In these stories, God's people are overwhelmed by the flood, creation is reversed, and all is covered again in water. In Egypt, God's people are enslaved, unable to free themselves. They are powerless to recover what they have lost. Ezekiel and his people also feel powerless in exile. Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. The Spirit of the Lord leads Ezekiel to a valley of dry bones, a graveyard. The Spirit is not content simply to show Ezekiel this sight. He makes him walk all around the bones. The Lord asks him, "Mortal, can these bones live?" Ezekiel shrugs passively, "O Lord God, you know." But God does not lead Ezekiel here for Ezekiel to tell God what God already knows. God wants Ezekiel to know the power of resurrection for himself. And it's like that for the women in tonight's gospel too. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary are led by their grief to the tomb. It's not a place they'd normally hang out, but it's the only place where they feel connected on this earth to their friend and Lord, whom they have lost. As with Ezekiel, God acknowledges that loss without trying to lessen its pain. The angel meets the women where they are, at the tomb. He tells them, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. Come, see the place where he lay." God knows our need for closure in looking at what is gone. He knows our wish to turn back the clock and have again what we had. He knows our reality, dust, dry bones, the grave. But the astonishing thing is that God does not leave us weeping at the grave or wandering in the valley. He gives us a job to do. In calling us to act, he makes us witnesses of the more he has in store for us. There is something beyond our loss worth seeing, and he wants us to know and experience it for ourselves. To Noah, he says, "Build an ark." To Moses, "Raise your staff." To Ezekiel, "Prophesy to these bones." To Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, "Go quickly and tell the disciples this news." A power beyond any of the powers that level us with loss is at work behind the scenes. We cannot see this power. We only experience its results. We float above the chaos in the ark. We see the waters divide and walk through on dry ground. We hear a noise, a rattling, and watch bones come together, bone to its bone. Over and over again, what seems beyond redemption, beyond salvation, begins to show signs of new possibility and life. Out of the ashes, out of the tomb, out of the graveyard, out of death, comes new life, resurrection. The promise of baptism is not that we will be spared loss, suffering, or even death. The promise of baptism is that we have a God who loves us so much that he restores what he has created. He restores what we have destroyed. He restores what powers beyond our control have leveled. And God makes us active participants in restoring us to new life. Through Christ, he promises to be with us in the valley, in the tomb, in the chaos. And he brings us out of those places himself into new and unending relationship with him. And you shall know that I am the Lord. He is not a remote God, but our God, our Father. The saving power of God's love cannot be extinguished or lost or overcome by any force that takes away all that we hold dear in this world. God calls each of us, baptized into Christ's death, to come and see what is lost, and go and tell the world what he has restored. This news may seem too good to be true, but our sacred stories insist that our God is indeed that good. He invites us to build, raise, prophesy, proclaim, and experience this good news for ourselves. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.